show. You're listening to CJFF 90.1 FM at Simon Fraser University.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikutlun First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Keetse, Kwikutlun, and Stolo First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie, and we are back in the house. We're not doing a live show for the next probably quite a bit of a while, unfortunately, but I had such a good time doing my program live over the past month. And thank you if you tuned in to those episodes of Typically Tuesdays, and thank you for your patience. We are here back in the house doing a pre-recorded episode today, and I'm so happy to be talking about today's topic, which is about my favorite Easter movie. Because at the time of this broadcast, it is Easter Monday, and I thought what better than to share with you what I love about this particular film and why I think you should get into it and watch it. It is not The Passion of Christ. It is not Jesus Christ Superstar. It's not even Conclave, which I famously really, really love. In fact, this is a movie that came out much more recently, and it's called Wake Up Dead Man by Rian Johnson. It's part of the Knives Out murder mystery franchise. And famously, I am super duper religious and know so many things about the Bible and God. I'm like rolling in scripture all the time. I love God, and I totally subscribe to any religion, all religions. Yeah. And it just so happens that I really like this movie. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about it today, and discuss like why I like it so much. Interestingly, it's not my favorite of the Knives Out franchise movies. Though, to be honest with you, I've only ever seen one other Knives Out movie, which is Glass Onion. I actually haven't even seen the original first Knives Out movie. I think there's so many really good things about this latest installation, latest film of the franchise, and I want to share a little bit of that with you today. On the playlist today is music that I feel maybe makes sense to play on Easter because it has, in my opinion, possibly some kind of religious connotation to it, like a specifically possibly Christian thing happening. Mind you, as I said, I know so many things about religion and organized religion and specifically Christianity. Yeah. Totally, my interpretation is correct, but also this is just good music, and I think you should take a listen to it. We've got Aquaculture coming up later on this hour. We have a little bit of Beanie that I'll be playing, and also we've got some Dolly in there as well to end off the show. But first, let's start off with a track from an anime about a girl who basically literally becomes God. Madoka, Puella Magi Madoka Magica. I recently actually watched it for the very first time, like sat down, focused, and watched it. I had not seen this anime in 15 years, and at that time I wasn't even really paying attention to it. And yeah, that teenager, that 14-year-old, really does become God. Happy Easter! Here is Hikari Furu by Kalahina. Enjoy.
is Bird Note. Here we are, on an April day, standing at the sandy rim of a coastal bay, gazing quietly across a glistening expanse of tide flats. But wait, what's that startling sound overhead? Look up, a large flock of birds. They're the size of gulls, but a lovely tawny brown with bright cinnamon-colored underwings. The flock's dropping to the mudflat, canting down in orderly waves, shouldering together in a dense mass. These handsome birds have a name as unlikely as their calls. They're known as marbled godwits. Marbled godwits stand a foot and a half tall on slender, dark legs. Their exquisitely long bills are pink, tipped in black, and just slightly upcurved. Altogether, a stunning bird. The godwits are on their way north. They've wintered along the coasts, including the Texas Gulf Coast and along the Pacific from California to Washington. While most will breed in the prairie provinces of Canada, some will nest in Alaska's Aleutian Islands. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is brought to you by Wild Delight Bird Food, which aims to support wild bird populations with clean, nutritious ingredients in every blend. Available at Chewy.com.
Na mahiwaga, mabihaga ng aking hiraya. Sa kalawakan, ako'y malaya, sumasabay sa ihip ng tadhana. San man dalhin, kung ako'y papalarin, mundo ay herding na islibutin. At kukulayan, ang alapa, ating kalawakan ay magmimin. Di
Rebuttal by Beanie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. You might be thinking to yourself, Leslie, you've been playing a lot of Beanie these days. What's up? To that I say, mind your own damn business. Can't you see I'm going through something? It's so rude. No, Beanie's going to be performing at Coachella this week. Later on this week and next week as well. And it's very exciting for fans of Beanie, obviously, and also for those who also for like the Philippines and Filipino people, because I believe Beanie's appearance at Coachella is supposed to be the very first time a Filipino musician or group or whatever performs at Coachella, which is very, very exciting. It's also, I think, just always a good time to show my love for Beanie. They're great. They're so good. I actually don't really know to the extent that the song is written with like spiritual intent. I read somewhere online that some people have like this interpretation of it being a song about faith, and hey, I know so much about religion, I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Of course. Famously, I know a thing or two about Abrahamic religions, so I'm like, mm-hmm, believe that. And if not, you know, you take it up with genius.com. That's on you. But let's talk about Wake Up Dead Man now. My favorite Easter movie. And I hope you also watch it too. This movie's got everything. It's got healing. It's got resurrections. It's got violence. And if you're not familiar with the Knives Out movie franchise, it is like a murder mystery comedy series. Revolving usually one of my favorite themes in fictional media, in real life, and one of the things that I hope will happen is seeing bad things happen to very bad people. There will be spoilers in today's episode of Typically Tuesdays for Wake Up Dead Man, but directed by Rian Johnson. If you don't want to hear that, I'll catch you next week. And now I'm going to start talking about Wake Up Dead Man. So it is about the sudden death of a preacher in a small town in New York. And everybody thinks that this death was caused by the murderous young new priest named Father Judd, played by Josh O'Connor, because Father Judd, he himself has lots of tension with the preacher who was killed, named Monsignor Wicks. They have two diametrically opposed views on the role of religion and God in the world. Whereas Judd views Christianity, whereas God in Judd's eyes is compassionate and forgives and can facilitate healing, Monsignor Wicks feels the opposite. That religion or religious practice should be strict, full of dogma, and that there is this vengeful edge to God's embrace. He is a hateful man, whereas Judd tries not to be that way, because in the past he's killed someone before. in a boxing ring. He used to be a boxer. And he did time. He was full of regret and sadness and without a place to go. But then he found God, and he found his purpose was to help God heal other people in the way that God healed him, essentially. Because there's a lot of tension between Father Judd and Monsignor Wicks, and because Father Judd does not like the way that Monsignor Wicks leads his religious community, which is full of shame and making people feel guilty and terrible, making them hate the world and view the world as, I think what they would describe it as a wolf. Monsignor Wicks' most devout followers, which is a small few who have not left the church because they have not felt the horror and the fear-mongering as deeply yet, they all suspect that Father Judd killed Senior Wicks. Senior Wicks, Monsignor Wicks, whatever. I hate that man. I don't care. A bunch of things unfold. We bring on Benoit Blanc, who is the detective of the Knives Out series, and he asks Father Judd to help him try to solve this mystery, to give him the contexts of the community and who could possibly have committed this murder. So as I mentioned earlier, I've only ever seen Glass Onion and Wake Up Dead Man within the Knives Out franchise. I can't really speak on the entirety of this movie franchise because of that. I have not seen the first of the three films. But the first time I watched Wake Up Dead Man, I did not like it as much as I do now, having watched it a second time. And a big part of the reason was because I felt that the murder was too convoluted. But we're going to put a pin in that, because after watching it a second time, I have different thoughts. Anyways, despite how convoluted I felt it was after the first time I watched this film, there were a lot of other things that I really enjoyed about it. I thought that the acting was really good, particularly with Josh Brolin's character, Monsignor Wicks. I also really liked the some of the cinematography and the direction. And of course, again, I love when bad things happen to very bad people. And so there was obviously a cathartic release after watching this film. But as I went back to view it a second time, many months later, I realized that actually there are a lot of things, I don't know, after I watched it a second time, I liked it even more. And the reason why, I think, and I had a little bit of this inkling the first time I watched it as well, but the reason why I enjoyed it so much was because, unfortunately, there's something about Wake Up Dead Man and the themes that it tries to explore around abuses of power and violence and fear-mongering and religion and the need for people to have like sites to heal and come together as community. It's very, very realistic, particularly at this time in 2026. I feel like the only way that I can sort of make this coherent is by explaining a little bit about the previous Knives Out movie, Glass Onion. Glass Onion takes place during the first few months of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, and this movie came out in 2022. It is about a murder that happens on a tech billionaire's private island, and everything is very, very brightly lit throughout the movie, so there's like a literal brightness to the film. At the same time, the movie was very silly, and the reason why is because it is about incredibly wealthy people, wealthy and powerful people who are ignorant and removed from the world, coming together to, you know, have a party during the freaking COVID-19 pandemic, during like the first few months of the COVID-19 pandemic. The main villain, or the baddie in Glass Onion, is a tech bro billionaire. And at that time, I think in 2022, when this movie was released, I don't think that all of us were all that salient in understanding tech billionaires as being as horrible and malicious people as they are, like truly evil people as they are. I think at the time, because tech bros did not have as much overt political power in our world, we assumed, at least I assumed, that the way that they acted in the world was due to arrogance, and a lot of the stuff that they were doing was just stupid. They were being stupid people doing stupid things. You know, shortly after that, I think we've come to realize that the power that tech bros crave and hold is actually oftentimes much more calculated and genuinely evil than we had expected for it to be. But not knowing that, watching this movie, watching Glass Onion in 2022 or 23 or whatever it was, the silliness of the film seemed to match what we were witnessing in real life. And so when I thought about how I felt about Glass Onion, and I compared it to how I feel about Wake Up Dead Man, or how I felt about Wake Up Dead Man, I realized there was something that I didn't account for in there, which was the timing in which these two movies were released. I think if Glass Onion were to be released in 2026, it would have a very different tone. It would take on a really different tone, and it would be much darker. Whereas Wake Up Dead Man, which is about ultra-conservative, I don't know, dogmatic religion and religious practices, it is so tangible right now in 2026 that I didn't feel that, despite how real it, like everything else in the movie felt, the murder in Wake Up Dead Man did not feel like it made, I don't know, it aligned with the realism that I was seeing throughout the rest of the movie. What makes Wake Up Dead Man so good to me now, having watched it a second time, and even though I just still prefer Glass Onion because of more of the comedic tone around it, and Wake Up Dead Man is funny, but there are so many other things now that I appreciate so much about this third movie in the Knives Out franchise, because it is supposed to be, I think,